Put your hands away from the weed grinder. Step away.
Step away from the blunt, sir.
Step away from the loud.
You will never get this loud out of my hands.
Sir, I can't hear you. Put your hands.
You will never deny me the smoke.
Take the shot. He's crisping that loud. He's grabbing the lighter. Drop.
Man, no.
He's burning one. He's burning one, Sarge.
No, if today has taught me anything, if anything, they're like going to wait probably 2 hours and maybe invite themselves to getting high with you after watching you smoke the entire contents of the grinder.
Damn. Very potent. Very potent analogy.
Yeah, no, I think the doomer impulse that people have is maybe, I don't want to say it's reactionary. It does come from a real place, but also, like, I'm not going to lie. Whenever the world is demythologized, or you just see the thing that's always just been implied by others, and maybe you've experienced yourself, watching a bunch of people look at it like Goatsy is it's kind of fun for a second, not because something bad has to happen for you to have fun, but you're like, oh well, I'm not crazy, I'm not going insane. But then everything that comes with it comes with it. I think the worst part of seeing that stuff today in that video was that everyone started riffing in the replies to it. Like, it's...
I mean, like, I get... I think it sucks, to be clear. I don't think the riffing is a good thing.
Uh-huh.
But I also find it hard to argue with it as a means of not going insane about it, for some, perhaps.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not finger wagging it. It's just like
I agree that it is the normie... ultimately in poor taste.
Yeah, in the final analysis, as the pudgy newspaper stand guy said from Watchmen, it's disconcerting that their first impulse is to just start riffing like a detached irony account.
Well, yeah, making like, oh, they're waiting for their donuts jokes when the reality is very, very grave and not good.
Oh, yeah, no. If they'd kept the audio, the George Floyd riots would have, like, basically looked like a fucking Emerald City Comic Con. It's definitely one of the most American sort of senses of what we look at as horror, in the sense that, yeah, everything is happening off screen. And the damning and horrifying thing is, you know, a bunch of guys sitting around on their Punisher phones and, you know, got to make sure to get some hand sanitizer. You wouldn't want to catch COVID here.
I'll even do you one better, man. Like, probably less than a year until this is a plot on the new season of Law and Order somehow.
Oh yeah. And there's like
like mm-hmm. just absolutely, there's going to be a plot where there is a shooting and some security guard or some smaller scale version of this, he waited too long, and it's like I can already see it in my head.
Well, no, it's funny you say that. Recently, one of the things I'd seen about a year ago was that a mass shooting did occur, but was mostly prevented by, like, a trans security guard that I don't think was armed with a gun or anything that got, you know,
but just intervened, took the motherfucker down.
Didn't take the motherfucker down, but died in the process of intervention.
Wow. Yeah.
So, you know, did not have basically like a three stack of classic Rainbow Six. Everyone is kitted out top to bottom. It was so strange. The one time you're like, okay, if not like their sense of machismo and being manly men or whatever, like just the optics alone, like, you know, we have to get in there, we have to intervene. And it's like, no, actually, let him tire himself out. I'm sure he'll get it out of his system. And I mean, he did, but, you know, wasn't good, that outcome. It was very, very ghoulish, I guess.
Well, yeah, it's absolutely.
What's up, Ruben?
Oh, I want to interject the art.
Interject.
I believe you're referencing the incident at the, it's called the Boise Town Square Mall shooting in Idaho on October 28th last year. And it was Joe Acker, age 26, died a hero, confronting the shooter and helping people escape.
Yeah. Shout outs to, you know, an actual real one.
Right. Yeah. Literally putting your life on the line for that shit.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of talk of moralism or this or that affecting material gains, etc. But as dark and as horrible as this world is, there are still people that, I don't want to get too big into my politics here, but in the shortest amount of time, I could say a person that has absolutely no reason to save anyone else lives in that sort of setting or protect any of these people. I'm largely antagonistic to non-trans people for the most part, not as a separatist of some sort, but I don't know if you've looked outside, but a lot of these people are essentially good Germans. They will go along to get along and let fucking anything terrible happen as long as it doesn't inconvenience them specifically.
When you say these people, you're referring to the non-trans people, right? I'm just clearing up.
Yeah, cisgender people, Jake.
Correct.
Largely.
I wanted to make sure you weren't throwing your own under the bus.
A not insignificant amount of just regular old cisgender people. They want to be called regular, they want to be called normal. Yeah, normal people, all of them. I don't give a fuck about most of them.
People of the cisgender persuasion.
Yeah. I'm not on some Black Hammer shit. I don't think a bunch of genocide should happen to them or some shit. But, don't care for the boot on my neck. That said, and absolutely a courageous person who laid it all on the line for people that will never get to know her or her life. And that's like what humanity and humankind should be. And it's a damn shame. The world is poor for the loss. But, she saves some people's lives. So that's a life well spent. Hello, everyone. I'm Michelle Perez. This is the Pig Iron Podcast. Today, on a note that is completely not related to the cruelty of the world, we're going inward into the world on a subject we didn't really get to broach because of some functional problems with the recording process that we've since tested and mostly dialed in. Today, we kind of wanted to sit down and talk out something that a lot of hay is being made of, not just, you know, in terms of industry sort of organically forming around this, but also, I don't want to say a movement like the arts and craft movement, but I mean, there are many different bents coming at this. I'm of course talking about cleaning. The reactionary looks at cleaning nowadays, and you know, we can't really talk about cleaning without talking about Mr. Jordan B. Peterson. This is a Canadian self-help book guy that, I don't know, sort of became a new Joseph Goebbels. He's very big into cleaning your room. You're eating so much meat you can't shit. And big in an obvious incestuous relationship with his daughter.
It's Canadian.
Yeah. This is just
noting that.
He's Canadian. He is not American, which is super surprising. But yeah, you may know him as the guy that sounds like Kermit the Frog. He was able to empower a bunch of men to post groypers at you, like at your every waking hour, when you like do trans thirst traps, or say that collectivism is good. Anyway, he convinced a lot of these people that you have inherent human worth if you don't live in a room covered in your own human shit and leavings and burger containers. He's able to, you know, change a whole generation by saying you should clean your room slightly. And on the other end of the spectrum, we have mass culture like Netflix and the like, Marie Kondo and her sort of largely successful streaming output, where she talks about not necessarily, a lot of people kind of pigeonholed her as a throw out everything and you'll be happy, but a lot of it is as simple as, okay, do you have a lot of things that don't get any response from you? Like, why accumulate that for no reason? It's actually quite sensible. Does it spark joy, I think, is her catchphrase. I'm not gonna lie, I would like more shit in my apartment that sparks joy, but you know, it looks pretty nice right now. I've got some framed pictures and prints. I have a nice poster that's a memory of an organization I was trying to help out in the past. I got some plants, a plant mom, got that going on. I've got a garden, got a few desks. I have quite possibly too many desks. So, you know, one of these desks is a sparking joy, Jake. And today we're kind of talking about that process with our preeminent scholar of cleanliness studies, Ruben. How are you today, Ruben?
I'm okay. Can't complain.
That's what's up.
That news is pretty raw. We could arm more trans people. We could stand to do that.
Yeah. That said.
So the episode is about cleaning supplies, kind of as a follow-up to talking about soap. This one just aimed a bit more loosely at what we got on our hip. When the calcium deposits to your hand where your hip be at, it's like, I don't want you to have CLR or anything that's like acidic.
And why is that?
I'm going to give more context.
It would dissolve it. Yeah, go ahead, Jake.
Ruben's more or less right, but you know, here's the thing, Ruben. We're in the effort of keeping the spirit of the podcast and doing things yourself, and also keeping the spirit of the podcast going with the previous episode we had about losing jobs. You got a new job recently, Ruben, that involves cleaning. Is that right?
Oh yeah, I'm jobbed up to the nines. I'm a service technician now at an apartment complex,
which means you do in fact clean for partially your living.
Correct.
Wait, well, hold on. So I'm you're a authority. Super?
I'm now authority you're... on this? No, service tech.
Mm. Yeah.
Handyman?
So hired by a super. Yeah, a handyman of a super is how you would put it, I guess, with this weird, like, 50s job titling you're using.
Yeah. Is super short for superintendent, like a school?
Yeah, I believe so. Like the superintendent of a building.
Right.
Structure superintendent, and then we kind of just fell out of favor with that.
Yeah.
Out of sorts. And then handyman was super gendered, so now it's technician. But then it's like technician's super widely used a little too much.
Well, technician makes it sound like you might actually kill people or something.
It sounds like I have technology on me, which is the case. So, I mean, it's
put a pin in that because I'm assuming some of that is cleaning technology.
It's it's just tools.
Maybe they're cleaning tools, though. Honestly, I wanted to talk about it for ourselves. I am I live in a relatively large apartment with one other person. I need to constantly clean this place. It is something that I used to resent and not enjoy. And I think the key to, there's a long arc here where if you don't like cleaning, your surroundings will become more and more, to me anyway, my surroundings, I should say, will become more and more prone to stressing me out. So I have to sort of fight a battle between not wanting to clean and not wanting my place to be dirty. Sort of the opposite of having your cake and eating it too. And I think the key is just finding the fun in it and the satisfaction in like taking care of shit yourself. And in the spirit of Ruben's soap episode, that's why we wanted to drill Ruben about how he does his cleaning. Because I'm willing to bet that if we were to put all of our apartments on a cleanliness scale, we would probably score Ruben's the highest. What do we think about that, folks?
I mean, so
if you question me, we're all going to stand up and take pictures of all the rooms in our house and compete on publicly. So if you question me and say I'm not the cleanest, we will fight publicly with fists.
I would say one of my habits / utilities from people for a not insignificant amount of time while being in this town was like buddies basically moving between places. So one thing I would do to help people either like retain their deposit or whatever, or just help them out because they were in a spot, was I'd help them clean out their apartment and basically do detailed cleanings of everything, including fridges. And so these are like situations where it's multiple person in like what, a three bed? It's like a three bed with four people in it, which I'm sure is not going to be some mind-blowing thing for anyone living in a city nowadays. But yeah, I would say I was very good at that, but in terms of day-to-day in my apartment, up until having company recently, I don't look like I live in a fem cell situation, but prior to 3 weeks ago, I did seem a little Travis Bickle with it, which is an important distinction to make. It was, we hate to see it, folks.
We elaborate on that.
Well, I basically had bad habits. I would be working many hours in physically straining work. So the first thing I want to do when I get home, probably smoke a little weed, curl up, have my pillow, maybe a blanket or something ready on the couch, would leave the room in disarray, take off my clothes, take a shower. And so like that stuff accumulates if you just keep repeating the process and be like smelling stuff on your floor, like, oh, hey, this is clean. That stuff I didn't fold and put into the shelving I have. I sort of got interested in the game unpacking as a result of that. There's just a bunch of shit and I haven't even unpacked yet. I just am always doing manual labor of some sort. I just, that's my lot in life. I need to figure out how to do that and manage it without it becoming detrimental. Because, you know, if you're just always disorganized, then you never commit to organizing your thoughts or your actions, etc. You know, you're not going to have good outcomes. I know this, it's not like a philosophy. It's just like, it just seems like if someone's always messy, you know, maybe they're very good at the thing they are good at, but like it can limit them in other ways. And that's, anyone needs to build better habits. So yes, take aside the time to like at least commit to cleaning, even if it's like crappy or whatever, like put forward some effort, because you know, if you don't, like it can become limiting. It can, you know, you won't have company over because you look like, you know, you are a few posts away from like seeming domestic terroristy, and it's no fault of your own. Like,
you have to clean your toilet. If you want your friends over, you have to clean your toilet.
It's, yes.
If I lift up the seat and I touch 4-month-old piss trying to pee in your house and not hit the seat all over the place and be crazy, be polite because I'm really high or something, I better not feel piss crystals or I'm going to lose it.
Oh, yeah. I had a friend basically in the old apartment complex I talked to you guys about before. Great guy. Clearly awfully anhedonic, like doomer guy, but not a strictly speaking bad guy. His floor was riddled with clothing, food that he had ate on the floor, unwashed clothing that he moves in and out of. It all smells like sweat. He never put anything away, mold all over the place. He had a Mosin Nagant under one blanket and a gun I've tripped over like 3 times that is just a loaded Glock. I remember saying to him,
was it in a holster?
It was in a holster.
Okay, that's fine then. Don't be a fucking baby. That's bad placement and organization. Seems fine though.
Really? Man, that's safe. If my toe can get it out of the fucking loop because I'm tripping over the fucking gun. No, man. I hate to call him out like this. I hate to put you on blast.
If the holster is covering the trigger, you're safe. It's good. If the gun came out of the holster. I think
someone's owned a pistol for a little too long.
Yeah. No, I'm just imagining a baby with a holstered gun in both hands, just bouncing it back and forth over its own head. I'm
dipping my holster Sig Sauer into my curry rice right here.
Yeah, this is safe, folks. It's safe. See, safety's on. Safety's on.
One in the chamber.
the one in the chamber is for the curry.
That initiates the mag safety once there's one in the chamber. They're totally safe once it's in holster.
It really opens up the flavors.
A lot of flavors for this.
I think you make a good point though, Michelle, about the so anyways, while you were talking, what I was thinking about is how I have had to forcibly up my standards during the pandemic, because otherwise you can blink and it'll have been 2 months and you haven't cleaned anything because you're living the same day over and over again.
Oh yeah.
And that's when that's when it starts to get kind of nasty with it.
Yeah. I'm also of the opinion that, you know, you also have to make your place inviting, but that's more aesthetic. I don't know if it would be strictly speaking cleaning. Yeah, but
I would say cleaning is a part of it. Like if I have a bunch of cool stuff in my apartment, which I guess you could argue I do because I collected comic books and shit like that at one point in my life. So
nice
like,
try, Jake.
Yeah. You know, if that shit's all dusty and grimy, it doesn't, it's not going to look that as cool. It's still going to look nasty.
It's going to be even sadder.
I go to my bookshelf to like look at a thing and it's covered in a layer of dust. Then yeah, that's on me. Absolutely. And I actually have a ongoing and constant battle with dust in my apartment because it's at the top floor and it's mostly carpeted.
Yeah. Carpet's trash.
It's just like, I am such a slut for those Swiffer, those like little Swiffy dusters, Swiffer dusters.
Oh, I had a bad time with a Swiffer wet jet today.
Oh, shit.
I was
hitting, that's the kind of shit I should use more often.
I was hitting some finished apartments.
Yeah.
I personally think a regular fucking mop is way more versatile and better for a household than a Swiffer.
Yeah.
Mop could use it much longer, much, much longer, especially with proper drying. A lot of people leave like a wet mop somewhere that accumulates humidity. It'll mold or spread mold. You gotta let that baby dry out.
Yeah, I think the thing that would suck the most about a mop at home is just managing like a mop bucket. But that's in my head. I'm sure there's a solution.
Yeah, it's not hard. Just use your bathtub.
It's so easy.
It's 5 minutes.
You know what? I always forget about the bathtub. That does make it easy.
It's a nightmare at work. Whole different thing of like the logistics of where are their mop sinks, which is the floor sink to fill them from.
Well, yeah. Every time I've worked with a mop, that's never been a logistics issue because it's been in a kitchen. So there's always a mop sink built in. But I could imagine on an apartment building.
So Swiffer WetJet versus mop. Other than you can run much faster and carry reloads for a Swiffer WetJet, whereas a mop, you need a full bucket after maybe, I don't know, like somewhere under 100 square feet, but over 40 square feet. If you really fill the bucket, you can kind of hit a good amount of space. The main purpose of it being better at home is that because it's hot water you want to use when you make a little solution, that will dissolve and make cleaning much, much easier with less hassle. And you just need like Lysol, any basic cleaner that you can concentrate down. And it's like $5. Get like a gallon for like $10. But as a Swiffer WetJet, you're either buying their proprietary little cloths. This is specifically the Swiffer WetJet is branded to sell you paper reloads with Velcro tape on them.
Let me get micro about this real quick because I don't think I have a Swiffer WetJet, and I want to confirm that. I have a Swiffer that I can buy wet Swiffy thingies for.
Oh, yeah. I'm just bringing it up because that was what I had. You have the Swiffer Sweeper, which is the standard Swiffer.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. You're reloading wet naps out of a fucking box. Yeah. If you leave it open, they dry out. You need to refill it with another cleaner.
You just have Swiffer DLC, dog. It's awful.
So the wet jet is like a step up, I'm assuming.
No, Jake's on the battle pass for Swiffer.
Yeah, no.
Didn't buy the base game. Yeah. So Jake's out a bunch of premium products and like a premium experience.
You guys don't have the Swiffer battle pass? If I clean my apartment every week, I get a new delivery.
Yeah.
Of Swiffer products.
So Swiffer WetJet, the differentiation is that when you dry a Sweeper, that's a dry and wet, and you're just slapping wet naps or dry naps onto to bring them around. WetJet is only dry naps and has like a little scrub pad that doesn't really do anything for its efficacy. And it has a like battery powered jet, and you slam in a bottle of Swiffer Windex, and then you go and you shoot the shit in front of it, and then you clean it up.
That's what I'm talking about.
Pushing it over it. It doesn't work very well. It's very light. But the problem is, it's like, it's super cool. It's like, go and shoot the dirt before you fucking sweep it up. But if it's like some gunk that's stuck on the floor, I either have to scrub into it for like 15 seconds to get it off the ground, or a hot mop would just dissolve it as it rakes over items, which is why it's a terrible experience. Because anything beyond the lightest layer of dust and just general particles, like crumbs, you know, so that's why it works like a home kitchen, but like in any other industrial setting, someone spills shit, they don't give a fuck.
It does seem like
there's honey everywhere and people stomped in it with their fucking boots from the garage.
Gentlemen,
it's not going to help you.
Gentlemen. While I do love talking shop about individual products, because I love products, I love content, I love deals. I love brands. We would be remiss if we didn't sort of get into sort of opening of a cleaning project. Like for me, I sort of think of a point of reference for cleaning. Like anytime I do dishes, I want to ask you two a question. When you do dishes, what are the first dishes you start with personally?
Jake, you want to start or I can start? I think I'm right.
I mean, I can stream of consciousness my dish theory right now.
Hit it. Let's see.
Let's see. I have a sink full of dishes in my head. I'm imagining this, and I'm about to fill. I do this almost every day, if not every other day. So I'm easily starting with plates first. They're big. They take up the most surface area, and they're the easiest to just get clean and put right in the dishwasher. To be clear, I have a dishwasher. So all I'm doing is rinsing my dishes and putting them in the dishwasher in order to be sanitized. So I'm getting those plates out of there because here's the thing. I like doing dishes quite a bit. I hate making a lot of noise while doing dishes. I get pleasure out of doing dishes as quietly and efficiently as possible. Does that make sense to anyone else?
Oh, no, by the way,
no.
This makes complete sense.
I don't like when I make a lot of noise doing dishes, like clunk, clack, like the plates clattering and shit like that. Obviously, if it's my job, that's different, but I'm talking about at home. Like, I'm talking about for myself, like my
Jake, I'm so far in the hole of that. Oh, yeah? I've talked about it before that I've moved to all bamboo plates and bowls bamboo.
Wow.
Bamboo camping knife spoons that is double bladed Darth Maul knife spoon. There is no silverware. There is no silverware in this fucking house.
I like silverware. I won't lie, but
forks are heavy. When you use a light fork for a long time, it's very different to go back to long hard fork that could hurt teeth versus light fork. Light fork going smooth can't hurt teeth.
I'm just imagining you biting into something with a metal fork and all of your teeth cracking like a cartoon character.
It's just banging off the front of my teeth like a fucking gong because I'm idiot and I enjoyed it too much using a light fork, and now if I pick up a heavy fork I have to go a little like 15% slower.
Also, otherwise
I'll fucking hit my teeth.
What is your average bite strength, my dude?
I brought it way down, but like prior to 8 years ago, it was like jugular rip. It was like bone crunch at all times.
For the kill at all times.
Yeah, I used to be way too chomp heavy. You really got to watch yourself.
Holy,
you're gonna lose a tongue. Mm-hmm. You're gonna lose teeth.
Yeah, you're gonna bite your fucking cheek, my man.
It hurts. Yeah. I bit my cheek a lot.
I hate biting my cheek so much. Oh my god, I hate it more than anything. All
right, so. Kind of dancing around it myself. I'm plates. Then it's cups and bowls.
Yeah, I didn't finish, but I'm about the same. I finish with silverware. That's how I'll say it.
Everyone does though.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think everyone does.
I think what we're discussing here is that there's not a ton of diversity in how people do.
It's always plates, bowls because they're the fastest. Technically, I mostly only cook in nonstick woks. So then that is like probably the first or last item.
I also separate out everything that's going to get hand washed, and I then do that last.
Except obviously. I do have. Utensils aren't always last because I will put them all into a bowl or big mug and then soak all of them and then at some point grab that and do all of them at the same time. And then so that could either be middle or almost like second to last item.
Okay. That,
on average, puts them at the end of it. Just because you want to know order specifically, that happens a lot.
I ask in as much as I feel like we all have like a mostly uniform perspective on cleaning dishes. But when it comes to house cleaning, that can go all over the place. Do any of you start like where if you say I'm going to clean my apartment,
which I do. What say is the frequently.
Room? Which is the room that either of you start with?
Go.
So usually how we go is that instead of a specific room, we list out every objective in every room. Me and my partner, Frank.
Okay.
So that's step one, is to see like what's the worst jobs, and then based on what time it is, because we usually try to pre-plan a week in advance to be like, this is cleaning day, and then we write down everything that's going to get done on that day, and then it's usually just doing whatever the fuck you want to do, whichever order makes sense. Like mopping doesn't work first to clean up on like the half hardwood vinyl of the apartment, quote unquote. You know, you want to save that for last. You want to do other operations. Usually bathroom is last or it's its own day. Usually it's entire house and then bathroom or different cleaning days, because bathroom is the hugest undertaking. It causes the most smells. It's the most extreme chemical use. So usually it's not put in the same day because you don't want to get all fucking nauseous from chemical fumes and then have to clean the rest of your house. So my family always did and I hated it. The all-in-one, let's clean everything today and do nothing for 3 months.
Okay.
Not great procedure. Jake, what do you got?
My apartment has a wide layout, so it's really just like almost outside of the bedrooms. It's in the closets. It's like one big room. So the kitchen leads into the living room, which bleeds into the hallways where the bedrooms are. There's not a lot of like separation, but there is a line down the middle of the apartment almost that separates out a carpeted area from a wood floor area. So that's the biggest thing I get to fucking have is starting in my kitchen where there's a bunch of wood. My cabinets are wood. My floors are wood. The inside of the door, which can get splattered because it's right next to the sink, is wood. So I do a lot of what is it fucking called? Orange glow or something like that.
Okay. I've heard of that product.
Yeah.
It's the spray
it's
bottle.
It's just
one,
a hardwood
right?
floor. It's an easy hardwood floor finisher / cleaner. There's like a 2-in-1 clean and polish, and I'm sure it's probably not the most efficient, but that's what I'm slapping my wood with that, right? Lol. Jesus.
That's what's up.
Yeah, I'm just slapping my wood, man.
Wait, what the fuck? You're not doing pledge? The fuck? Put an orange glow? Wood cleaner pledge. Polisher?
Yeah.
Well, I see. I'm looking at orange glow, which is what I think you said it is right now.
Yes, that's
this
right.
This is a wood cleaner polish. It doesn't look as viscous because like pledge, they got to put in like a good. big hairspray fucking can, uh-huh. and it comes out just like super fucking chunky. It's like shooting lotion out of that fucking thing.
I see some right now that's like restoring oil.
Yeah, yeah. It has a good like clean polish action. So, I don't recommend that for wood personally.
Yeah, and to be clear, this is not incredibly nice wood. This isn't a building that I think was built in roughly the 60s or 70s and hasn't really been renovated since. So a lot of the stuff that I'm dealing with is really old hardware and old surfaces. Like my kitchen is this weird fucking finish that is, God, I don't even really know how to describe it. It's like, it's made to look, I guess, kind of like granite or some sort of rock, but it's just a plasticky finish on top of wood, I assume. So I, in the kitchen in general, like let's say I've done all my dishes and shit, and now I just have to look at everything, you know, else. I'm sweeping my floors and then I'm doing the polishing of the woods. And then if those two things are done, that's when I would either be like, okay, like, you know, we're stopping for now, or we're going to hit it with a Swiffer because that's my closest mop option. So, you know, mopping the wooden floors is something I probably should do more often. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I do it regularly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to shit on people for not mopping enough.
Like, you know, I'm renting this place.
Yeah.
And mopping in general is kind of a pain in the ass. I sweep very frequently, to be clear, but it's just like, yeah, I'm not hitting the mop that often. And as I sweep, I naturally basically end up sweeping all the wood parts of my apartment because it just extends out from my kitchen. So I just keep sweeping in every direction. And then I literally sweep all the wood floors, and then I would have to tackle the carpeted part of my apartment, we can get into vacuum talk later, but you know, that's what that entails, is a lot of picking up and cleaning around furniture and vacuuming and shit like that. And I agree with Ruben in that I do not clean my bathroom the same day I try to clean anything else, because it's just too much of a pain in the ass.
It's too much. And the fumes could get to you.
If I start with one, I never want to do the other. Whether it's starting in my bathroom and planning, you know, I'm just like, yeah, no, fuck that. Where's the fire, you know? Unless you are literally, unless someone is coming over to your house for certain reasons and you need it to look really good, you chill out, you know?
Yeah. I grew up sort of like in a big family. Our whole deal was like mainly trying to get it done the day. So it meant sort of pick a kid, pick a room deal. I think some of that rubbed off on my general approach. I try to do bathroom first because for the most part, all of the products are there. It doesn't take that long.
See, I'm and a products under the kitchen sink kind of guy.
Well, I mean, but the
although
thing
I do
is,
have some in my bathroom as well.
There's already cleaning products in a bathroom anyway, but there's requisite products for the kitchen relative to the area. For example, the stuff that would mop the surface area of a floor, or in our case,
sort of vinyl paneling that's supposed to look like wood. It's, you know, going to just be out there because that's where it's going to get the most play. We use, you know, Comet and the like for sinks and bathtubs, and, you know, the general shower area. And I go from that to my bedroom now. My bedroom is finally clean because I need to start the unpacking process because I want to get to a place where I can sort of move my stuff from another part of the country to where I currently am. I'm setting down roots. I want to like work on my shit. So I need all of my things. And so I want to have that go into a good place and not be in a pile. And then, so my room is now ready. It's open. It's ready for the world. So now it's a matter of upkeep and not eating in bed and not doing depressed person shit in days. I'm clearly not a severe depressive. You got to get out of bad habits. I know we've all had 2 years of the sort of COVID brain setting in. But yeah, then I just moved to living room and entry area. Like, we don't have a mud floor or whatever, as some people call it.
Mud room.
Mud room, yeah. We have, you know, we just have the door.
Yeah, I don't have anything like that. I have two doors to my apartment.
It's opposite our sink and stuff, so we'll make sure everything is clean in the sink because the first thing anyone will smell is either if I've been cooking something or if I've been cleaning something. So that has to get knocked out and thoroughly. But yeah, bathroom because it's the stinkiest and it's probably the biggest time commitment. For the kitchen, dining area, and living room, it's basically mopping, sweeping, taking care of crumbs on surfaces, cleaning surfaces. After the last job I worked, where it was mainly a sort of kitchen setting, that is nothing to me. I
was just about to say, when you bring that up, I think that's one of the best things that ever happened to me, re-cleanliness, was just having to work in a kitchen.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever really talked about it. I don't want to go into a big tangent, but I mean, now that I'm not really working there and I have another thing right now, I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but yeah, one of the things I do or have done is just like working in a inner city kitchen. It was a lot of fun. It was also very stressful, and you know, it was what it was. I'll get a good reference. Well, I'm not worried about that.
To be clear, yeah, all I wanted to talk about re-kitchen work was that the cleaning aspect of it is built in, and
you can
easily apply all of that you learn professionally to your own home situation.
Yeah.
So I would say that like I started learning to cook and clean professionally when I was like 16, I want to say. And every lesson that I've learned about cleanliness has, rather than coming from like a parental figure, I wouldn't say every lesson, like shout outs to my mom, obviously, but she was more often than not like not great at motivating me to clean shit up. Whereas when you work in a kitchen, you understand and even benefit from the motivation of cleanliness because it fucking literally helps you get your shit done if you do it efficiently.
Yeah, not just that, like there's a rote need attached. I've done like a little bit of everything. So, no dishwashing, no cleaning, food prep, I know that. Some line work, but not a whole lot. Like a little bit of expo. But beyond that, having a sense of immediacy, but also stake, like, oh yeah, if you leave this setting with all of the raw food and stuff and leave it uncleanly, like it will come back and bite you in the ass. It will Well, you know, you could have food poisoning or something happen. You could
Slip on something, you know.
You could have slip on something and crack your head open.
And you could put your hand in the sink and get stabbed by an errant knife.
Yes, you'd
all sorts of shit.
Yeah. So
that's, you know, and that level of not like everyone has to be a fucking French chef, but just literally knowing how to clean up after yourself in that context is really valuable. And I say this as someone who leaves dishes in the sink. Like,
yeah,
you know, like it
stops you from dying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm getting my dishwasher fixed like right now, because when I get home, I'm very good at cleaning the dishes. I'm fucking incredible at it. Actually, the last thing I want to do at home is ever clean a dish with my hands at all. I'm so tired of it.
Yeah. A dishwasher would be really sweet.
I love painting my nails and
I'm worried mine's going to break soon, because the little, so I have a very old dishwasher. Like I said, all the hardware in my apartment, very old. The little, what do you call it? Compartment where I have to put the detergent.
Mm-hmm.
The spring lock on it is busted. So it just doesn't close anymore. So now my next fear is that it's just going to start to continue to break down. I doubt I'll get a new one. Well, I will probably get some sort of replacement old one, but that would, I can only imagine in my apartment that would take more than a month.
Mm-hmm.
Our dishwashers are always like fucking like 20 years old.
Yep.
We don't fucking use them. They don't work.
I mean, I use mine, but it's like, I literally, like, you know, like I said,
sterilizing.
Yeah. You're not, I think anyone, this counts because this is cleaning. Okay. Let me put a hypothetical to you two, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
You have a guest over at your place. You're all, you eat food. You all made dinner.
Nope, bullshit. I've never eaten food.
Shut the fuck up, Michelle. Can't
eat, unable to eat.
End of dinner, your guest is like, hey, I'll do those dishes. And you're like, yeah, man, I'll take you up on that. No problem. You let them go do their thing and you go off. Later on, you go check the dishwasher. And you open the dishwasher and there's just nasty food on the dishes.
Kill them.
And they're loading the dishwasher.
They're shot.
You didn't rinse.
I load a gun and fire from where I'm standing.
This is something I encounter not all the time, but have certainly encountered more than
was doing the dishes, putting them in the dishwasher and walking away. What the fuck is that?
It's very clear to me. Some people didn't get their fucking egos annihilated for leaving food on this plate back in their childhoods.
You gotta eradicate them right there on the spot. It's the only way. If you don't have three other friends present, you have to wait and then trick them into offering again by making an extravagant meal and having everyone over, turning other people's requests down and then letting them do the dishes.
You have to oh, by the way, you gotta rinse them.
To interject, Jake, if there's a part of this that isn't necessarily a fallacy, but is a little untrue, if you get bothered for like not finishing all your food, well, you have to sort of become better at lying. Maybe you were just bad as a child liar. Like you've never just went, oh, my tummy's full. Easy. Then you don't have to eat the bad food. You have to eat the tomato.
You don't have to wash the dishes
as an adult. Yeah.
I don't even consider I'm talking about like a plate that's clean that just hasn't been rinsed, or not a plate that's clean, a plate that has fully been eaten. Let me clarify here.
Okay, so the contents, you just have leavings afterwards. We have food remnants.
We have a leavings dish.
We have shit that is going to dry in the dishwasher and is not going to come off when you run the dishwasher.
And we're not running it yet.
And then you're going to pull it out of the dishwasher and you're going to be like, why does this have this crap on it? And then I'm going to tell you, oh, you could eat off that anyway. That crap has been sanitized completely. It's fine. Just fucking fingernail that shit off.
It's extra carbs.
Yeah, it's extra carbs.
Finger it into your mouth.
It's harmless. It's literally harmless. But it's gross.
No. Yucky.
You can drink expired milk for months. It's fine.
I don't know about that. I'm not co-signing that.
They sterilized it. What's it going to do? How's it going to go bad? Liquid can be sterilized forever. That's what we know, and it's a fact. That's a constant of all realities, and you can't say otherwise.
If you told me it expired a week ago and it's been in the fridge, I would be like, all right, I'll try it. But months, man, months.
3 months. 3 months, still white. Not as chunky.
Shut the fuck up.
So we ran away. Hold on. We ran far away from Cleaners real quick. I gotta hit both of you first. Pledge, pretty sick. I don't love it though because it doesn't clean things. It's a clean polisher, probably similar to Orange Glow.
That's why I have
The cleaning function is dubious.
So let me hit you with this. What
all the way back around.
What should I use to be cleaning a wood like cabinet or a drawer?
So if it was an actual wood cabinet, the cleaning would just be like either a...
I guess it's finished. I don't know how else to just... Yeah, like regular wood.
Do like a light spray alcohol, a light degreaser, a little bit of dish soap
have some even, ice purple.
And a very damp towel, not wet. You know, you can do a lot of just basic cleanings against the wood and then wipe it off completely. And then you could just put like a conditioner over the wood as a 2-in-1. Pledge has a place of like, this thing sucks, fuck it, and I want it to be shiny.
Yeah, so we'll shine it. You just shine it up.
And it does that very fast. Use a microfiber cloth because the cleaning action is that you make the dirt wet with the Pledge, and then when you rub it, all dirt go into cloth, and then you just leave some kind of like waxy residue behind that you can smear really fast. That's the cleaning that they're talking about. But there are better polishes you could do. We're not here for waxing. That will wait for the Crokinole episode. It'll be a 2-in-1 cleaning board game episode. But my current experience with Pledge is that multi-surface kind of slaps. If you want shiny surfaces in your house, it's the way to go. I'm not a fan of it. I like satin or matte surfaces. But at least at my job, that was a pretty pleasant experience to be like, hey, you know what? Some shit just has to be shiny and I'm not really deep cleaning it. If it was your house and you are grossed out by things, I would do like a degreaser first and then use that as a polishing compound. That would be fine. But it's like not lifting things up in a way. It's kind of just like pushing some things down is what it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
In my experience. So like after several Pledge cleanings, it's like this surface is now like a little murky because like shit is still here and the surfactant can't pick up certain like oily residues or other things that get on there. So I wouldn't trust it as a cleaner because of that. It seems like it's, you know, it can't seem to like degrease the surface, which is why I'm a big proponent of degreasers, or most multi-purpose cleaners are just called degreasers.
Ooh, wait, let me talk about that. So I have a multi-purpose cleaner right here.
Oh yeah.
Whoa.
Holy shit.
Holy fucking shit.
Right Whoa. There with your hands on it? Are you fucking insane?
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Literally right next
Let's
to
go.
That.
The fucking demon core.
It says
moving the screwdriver on says, the cap.
It says cuts grease plus grime, and it is deemed an all-purpose cleaner. So what do you think? What should that mean for me, Ruben, as a cleaning
They're
guy?
Saying that
what should
every,
I be using this on?
They're saying every dirty surface. They're saying all-purpose, which is dog shit. There's no all-purpose cleaner. You're going to clean your t-shirt with that? You just spray your shirt down and wring it out?
I will give it some credit here. On the back, it has counters, tile, stone, wood, glass.
Sure.
Yeah, that's okay, the standard.
Hard surface. Now I'm going to list off ingredients, right? What's in the bottle? Water, diesel glucoside, lauryl glucoside. So are those soaps?
Those are surfactants, I believe.
Okay. Sodium carbonate, sodium gluconate, laureth 7, which is coconut oil, apparently. Citric acid, potassium hydroxide, and then it's just fragrance and shit like that. I think all the cleaning stuff is up front.
The cleaning stuff is at the bottom there. The citric acid and the peroxide.
Okay.
Those are common ingredients for cleaners as either an acidic solution or for like dissolving calcium deposits.
Salicylate, is that right? Citral?
Known. And then the first ones you said, like the first three roughly, I believe, are all surfactants. And that's just to make shit wiggle
that's
around.
That's disinfecting?
When you wipe it. Surfactant. So it is displacing things from a surface so that you can wipe them.
Yeah.
It lowers the surface tension between liquid and a solid. Okay. A surfactant. Am I saying this right?
I believe you're saying surfactant correctly. Yeah.
Okay. A surfactant. So it's a mechanical action of allowing grease and dirt to be moved easily. Because if you just, you know, if you went and take some like hand soap and then rub it against like cement, like you're not going to pick up a lot of the dirt. You're going to make mud that is now soapy mud. So if surfactant properties are to make it like float on the liquid medium that you spray down, roughly, not a scientist. And then when you wipe it, that shit's gone. Instead of having to like scrub it, get a produce a hard lather. Lather's like a surfactant. Bubbles are surfactant because they are displacing grime from a surface so that you can clean it easier.
Yeah.
Less scrubbing, less wiping. The mechanical action of it means you were exerting less stress so you can clean more surfaces. At least from a trade perspective, that's what you're paying for when you use products and don't fuck around.
I mean,
let's bring some Dawn in. Let's spray Dawn and water on our tables.
I'll be honest, having worked in a chemical plant, it's also just like, it's also just sort of buying a name brand, really. Because a lot of these products are basically share a lot of the same surfactants and stuff and a lot of the same base acids.
Of course.
Where, hey, I won't get into this fully, but after working in a chemical plant, there are some things that, have X amount of caustic in it that is used to basically destroy or kill stuff. For example, where all of these barrels we would be pulling from would be used for very different products, but for the most part, a lot of the same use products just varied the amount or turned it up and notched it up to a certain point where it was considered more effective, even though it's, you know, all basically the same shit, which is strange, but it went through the rigor of a process where you'd have to fill up X amount for certain yield and then go to the lab guy on site that just basically you do a little drip test with. He'll give you the purity test back and, okay, you have to go back and do this correctly. And you basically become like a little hillbilly chemist whenever you're making all of these soaps and stuff. Or in some case, barnacle killers.
The branding side is a very good point to bring up. In general, cleaners are just all brands. When you buy ibuprofen or Tylenol or acetaminophen or naproxen sodium or Aleve, you're paying for the same thing, and then some people market it differently.
Generics.
So generics. What you always want to look for is generics and then like alternatives. A very good general thing is that once you want something like a degreaser in your house, you want to read through them. If you have pets and stuff, you want ones that will leave the least trace amount behind if you happen to like over dilute some of it. It's a good reason to, if you're not great with math, is to buy pre-diluted spray bottles. Don't buy the gallon and then dilute it yourself if you're not confident in that. You could hurt a little pet. Little pea paws are going to step in over concentrated solutions that dry on your floor. Things like that you want to consider. But also, all multi-purpose cleaners not being equal is a big part of branding, because they're going to, like Michelle said, have different amounts of like caustic solutions, or going to have different methods for which they are, what their cleaning agent is. I prefer an ethanol-based multi-purpose cleaner, so just an alcohol. It's alcohol with surfactants in it so that things float, and then you wipe it, removes grease, oil. Very good general purpose and a very strong contender for only cleaner you need. Quotation marks, not in every situation, though. So you can't go away with one cleaner. I would have liked this episode by saying you only need one cleaner to fuck everything else up, but you actually kind of need two at a minimum. But we'll get to that. I had one more cleaning product to dunk on, so I talked about Pledge being good. Michelle, you mentioned using Comet as a metal cleaner for like sinks, and I think you also said tile and tub, like a bathroom use. I thought Comet was bleach-based. Apparently it's not, but it is like hot. Is it Comet with bleach powder? I believe it's one of the variants. I think they have a non-bleach variant, but I'm not sure what's in it. Couldn't find it real quick. Okay. I would want to recommend for people that want maybe less like off-gassing cleaners or cleaners that are just less offensive and toxic to a certain degree. Barkeeper's Friend is a very good metal cleaner because it's the same thing as Comet. It's like pumice, but it's suspended in like a liquid solution, and it has an active cleaner in it that is still toxic, but it doesn't like off-gas or smell terribly like Comet does. I also use it for like de-rusting tools that were in the rain and things like that. So I'd recommend that. Quick shout out. Good job, Barkeeper's Friend. It's like in a huge silver bottle.
I mean, for me, the utility of the comet and knowing how it works is also part of the purchasing decision. I mean, I bet I could wrap my mind around, yeah, a liquid cleaner, as you've said there. But yeah, my whole deal with, yeah, the comet is with our sink. It's particularly for our sink in the bathroom, and sometimes the tub part of our combo shower tub, which is that it's oftentimes just two people living there wearing makeup and stuff, and kind of gets messy. So we kind of need something heavy duty to take care of that, so it's not like stained or anything. If it costs less or whatever, then fine. I have no objections to Comet being replaced.
Whenever I've used Comet like products, I'm trying to find the other one I use, but it's the same idea of as a cardboard tube filled with white powder. And fucking, mm-hmm. It's just like, I don't know how much I should be dosing out there, because I'm just like, I need this shit to be everywhere. And then you make a couple small little hills of Comet powder, and you're like, is this fucking enough? Is this cleaning right? I don't like that part of the experience. I think that also is a detractor for me to be pouring powder onto things to clean them, or making a paste out of them myself, rather than pour a bottle on a fucking thing and go.
No.
Just prefer that.
See, my favorite thing about Comet is its generics, like, this is just barely Comet, and they've always got like fucking goofy Ajax. Names. Ajax, yeah, or
Fabuloso Dry.
Yeah, baby. Oh yeah. I mean, like, you sort of half expect there to be an actual Mr. Sparkle. But yeah,
Dude clean.
This one's for the fellas.
This one's for the fellas. Put it in your cracks. Grout, I mean.
Yeah, you're grouting your towel. Gosh, a lot of the layout of the apartment doesn't lend itself particularly to the auspices of full-on house cleaning. For example, I don't really have corner cobwebs. I don't know if it's a problem for either of you, but I haven't really had that problem.
We got spiders nearby, but they don't really seem to get inside or really do anything like that. They do sit outside the door, though, and set up a cobweb, like either front door or on the balcony at times. But that seems to kill a good number of bugs that don't make it inside as a result. So that's been a very symbiotic relationship. The local spiders, they're pretty nice.
That's right. I'm thinking here, there's something to be said also, like, for outside of cleaning products themselves, just sort of like the commitment to the project or whatever. Are you throw a whole day at this deal, or do you guys clean piecemeal?
Oh, 100%. Jake, do you want to start here?
I'm way too lazy to do a whole day.
Which is
maybe detrimental, because it does sometimes feel like all I'm doing is half cleaning my apartment and never fully cleaning it.
Looking at the dirt, your half gets dirty, you clean the other side, hang out over there, that side gets dirty.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Back and forth. It's not a full day. When I said that once it like gets down, it gets compressed to a list and we have a week to plan it, it kind of then becomes like a race to be like, we need to finish this in under 3 hours or it wasn't worth beginning to clean. Like if it drags out to a 6 hour clean, I want to throw up and die. I'm here about the speed, the power clean when it comes down to it. So that's why the bathroom is separate. The bathroom is so arduous with having to use stronger chemicals, with needing to like mask or get woozy and like open all the windows or whatever. Because the bathroom is very far with a poor ventilation fan. It's very far from all windows, so it's just going to stink half the house up. There's no way around it. With fans, nothing stops it. So that's why it's just such an ordeal and really takes away from... You could really pound out your entire house in like 2 hours tops if you just fucking keep moving. Don't fuck around and know what you're doing. You make a list, and then you hit an item, and then you look to the side, and you see the next item, and you get going.
Yeah. I was about to say, now, Ruben... Your apartment, is it a house style layout?
No, it's just an apartment style. What's a house style layout?
Okay, so some people, their apartment is like one part of a duplex that is basically like
oh
half
no.
a house or
no
Or they'll have an apartment that is basically a small house attached to a larger property, or is just a small house.
Low rise or two-story apartment.
You know what I mean?
Garden-style complex. So it's a rectangle, mainly consisting of a single corridor that touches all rooms on the same level.
Okay.
Motel, hotel style, sort of.
I'm in a small complex layout, so for the most part, my apartment is going to be substantively bigger or anything like that than any of the other apartments. Same basic layout.
What we call in the business a garden style apartment complex, and you are in a B or C class denomination depending on location and how nice it looks outside.
So I got a little tiny corner of the yard.
That's kind of nice. That sounds like a B class then.
You would be correct. I am basically, I've got like a few good sized windows and like a pretty decent opposite the kitchen dining area window where we put a bunch of the plants and stuff in. It's pretty nice. Each of the bedrooms have windows.
Folks,
obviously, if you're not spoiled for choice or whatever, do whatever you gotta do, but it is absolutely essential if you do not want to develop mental illness as a result of the place you're in, try to find at least one window in that place. And if your biggest window is in your bathroom, but it's like in a decent spot where no one could see you shit, like, it's okay to compromise on that, but you need windows. I cannot emphasize this enough. You
will something insane went wrong
without the sun.
You don't have windows limited in your dwelling. Something's up. But it happens. If your biggest window is in your bathroom, buy some go find some 2x4s, go get some pallet wood, and just make like a little platform in there. Make a little, you know how they have like a bench you like ride on in front of a window and like a fucking like 40s style, like half harm, like farmhouse.
No,
a
house, man.
It's in the city, but you have like a farm. Well, you'd need like a window with a bench next to it for you to like ride on and like put your, that's where you like. You have like the one throw pillow on it, and that's where you write because you're like a rebellious teenager. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I do not live in Catcher in the Rye, dog.
You know when there's like a bench next to a fucking window? You have to understand that concept.
Okay, yes, maybe not in a bathroom specifically, but
I mean, install that in your bathroom, because if your only window, and it's a nice big one that you said is in a good location without a line of sight to your poops, that.
See, now, if a bench was near someplace I shit, I don't know if I want a bench to be there. That's going to be the stinky bench, Ruben.
Okay, where are you shitting? You shit in the toilet and you clean the toilet, right, you fucking freak?
Obviously. This is the whole thing. But you're like wiping or you know.
Look, you want a non-porous bench. I'm not going to say there's going to be difficulties. There's going to be trials and tribulations. Look, you have to have non-porous surfaces, sealed wood. You can't like put like a regular cushion down. You might want a blow up cushion that you can wipe down with a baby wipe or a disinfectant wipe.
You say fabric that's going to be regularly in a bathroom. I'm thinking of all of the ways in which that could go wrong in a bathroom.
I'm saying you're going to want to limit.
I'm not the devil here.
I'm saying you're limiting fabrics. We're going to waterproof surfaces or like outdoors exterior only surfaces.
Yeah.
A balcony pillow, you know, the kind of like just polyester only. It's kind of not really, doesn't really need to be there. It kind of doesn't do anything, but you don't want to be on bare wood ass.
Don't get me wrong. I think some of the best times in my life were where I was chilling in a bathroom, but not to shit. So there would be like centerpieces in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Centerpiece one, I think of a tub that basically was able to double as a little hot tub. You could put your arms up, one of those tubs. In America, we don't get that shit.
Yeah, we don't get it's that. You gotta pay. Awful. You gotta go to Etsy with $10,000 in your pocket to get something like
it's
that.
It's like I would like a bathtub that I am comfortable in.
I would like to take a submerged bath like an adult.
Yeah, I would like to take a submerged bath like an adult.
In my life once.
I would like to have my shoulders be comfortable during a bath. You know, like a fucking psycho. Listen, that I am.
Why the fuck do our shoulders have to be out in a hot tub for fuck's
it's
sake?
It's in a bathtub. Yeah, no. Ooh, wow, it's so convenient. Well, that's what the standing shower is. No, maybe I just want to be in the tub the whole time.
I want to be in the water.
Maybe I just want to be in the water. I want to have hot water up to my neck. And
Ben
I want to feel good as hell.
Ben Affleck's Daredevil. Bed. Has a full submersion chamber that lets you put your ears in the water and let you lay down comfy.
Yeah.
That's my favorite way to be in water, and you're deprived that at every turn unless you put $10,000 down for a fucking tub. It's ridiculous.
You have to buy like fucking two cars worth of something in order to like have the water above your shoulders. Sickening. Perverted.
It's cheaper to dig a hole in your fucking yard and wallow in mud than it is to buy a tub that will get the water to your fucking shoulders and not flood the second story living room.
But yeah, no. And this guy had a walk-in closet attached to his bathroom.
That's excessive.
Anything. He didn't make the layout like that. It was like a young rich couple that was like, well, let's become landlords. Live in a smaller apartment for a while. Make our house work for us. We'd lived in Redmond at the time. It was... I couldn't imagine, sometimes people get in bad moods. I would never be in a bad mood any day of my life. I would maybe be like more of a bitch. I would be bitchier if I had a walk-in closet and access to a walk-in closet at all times. Obviously, because you have a walk-in closet, you don't have to work. You have just a whole room of things that don't involve your clothes. You just go in there and you're the Punisher when you're in that walk-in closet. You have your shoes. You're like Punisher's war journal. I got the fuck me pumps on. I have the 1980s hoop rings. I'm so happy. There's nothing but happiness in my life. No one will ever fuck with me if I'm wearing this specific grouping of clothing and my perfume's nice and my makeup is together. Incredible. If you had access to that all the time, your life would be so powerful. Yeah, you couldn't help but be bitchy.
There's
and everyone would thank you for it. They would thank you for it. They'd be like, thank you. Thank you for treating me like dirt. And I'd be like, who are you? Like one of those. That's what you need. Don't talk to me. I don't remember asking to speak to the help. You would say shit like that.
Yes.
And the only other thing I could think of it, like in a house where it was like it was that cool to chill was like a standing shower where it's the floor.
Yep.
And it's all shower. No bathtub attached. It's like a room within a room, but only for showering.
The big shit that I always saw my entire childhood, someone gets a new house, master bedroom has standing shower, then full-size tub next to it. So someone could bath, and then someone takes a shower, and they are not touching. Different liquids, different fluids. Kind of a cool setup. It's a good mix. It seems like a lot of wasted space, and the tub is so huge to still not be like, it's not everyone's shoulders. It's like 5'6" and under shoulders, and still not have a satisfying tub after having a custom stand shower makes me fucking insane.
Yeah, that's there's honestly, maybe that is why like. The rich become like very vain and terrible and callous people. It's because they got those big bathrooms.
They get a tub and they can get their whole body fully submerged.
Oh my God.
Over their shoulders. It washes away the facade of humanity. Chumbawamba's tub thumping starts playing loudly in their soul. and they're just like, you are all worms. You,
yeah.
Aerated shoulder having pieces of shit.
Oh my God. Dirty. Our shoulders are so dry. That is why Dust Your Shoulder Off exists. My God. It's all full circle. That is why. It's like, yeah, you're dusting your shoulders off because you don't have these moist shoulders. I do. I've been marinating. These shoulders are seasoned. Oh.
They're broiled to perfection.
They're to perfection. Like, I don't know. In terms of bathroom as an indulgence, you know, I mainly, if I'm having fun in the bathroom now, it's like, okay, I'm really focusing on doing makeup correctly, having that, like, set up right, and, like, maybe ask someone to, you know, spot you on that or whatever. Beyond that, in terms of that, it's like, why the only thing I'm really cleaning in there is just that. I used the tub enough to, like, need to clean it that regularly.
I wish a tub could be accessible and need use. That would be valuable in my life. I do want to issue a challenge to our listeners. If you've done drugs in a kitchen, you know when people just love hanging out in a fucking kitchen, try and really corral your friends into doing just like a quick blunt circle, just a quick pass and play, pick up and play. In the bathroom, though, try and get four people in the bathroom to roll one out and just be really insistent on it. Make it happen. I would love to know if anyone could do this. Just let me know how it went. But you couldn't have done it before. Some people wander into a bathroom and then smoke in a bathroom. It's kind of funny. Been there. Try things. Jake, do stuff. Give it a shot. Jake, how's it going?
If you ever, I was going to say I wanted to kick the ball to you. You ever got high with a group of people in a bathroom?
In a bathroom, Jake.
With not cocaine.
Not coke.
This is amazing because you've just...
Could be a nice bathroom. As Michelle said, when it's like the master bathroom and it's like everyone has like 5 feet of space between each other, here's maybe you're near the walk-in closet. Why are we fun?
Are we doing that because we need to do it in secret, or are we trying to stink up, or because you know what? I have smoked in a bathroom. I'm fucking lying, but I don't know if I've done it with a group.
It has to be the group. It can't be a pair either. You need a trio minimum.
Well,
I'm out of the running, folks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Duos doesn't count. Duos doesn't count. That's not how it's not ranked.
No, nah. And I'll tell you why, because where I am before weed was legalized, it was really easy to do it outside. So the choice. I don't think we would ever end up in a bathroom. However, visiting home, anytime I was taking a shower, I was also making sure to smoke weed because the fans were on and the steam was up. So I would literally have like a bowl packed outside of the shower.
Yeah, it's good tech. It's good tech.
Yeah, that's great tech. If you're,
we like to see it. We like to see good tech.
Steam up your bathroom. Turn the fans on.
I hate weed stink. I really appreciate weed clean. Getting weed clean tech.
I will say that I don't. I typically am in a space now where, like, I just smoke in my apartment. And
Jake, I gotta ask you really quick. Have you ever smoked weed and then you had to like take your shirt off and put it in a plastic bag and then put a new T-shirt on to like be less stinky?
No.
And then like 3 hours.
What the fuck are you talking about?
No. When I was a teenager, I've seen people be like, I gotta go home, but I can't get to a shower in the interim, but I've brought an extra T-shirt and a plastic bag, and I'm going to smoke weed and then put the weed shirt in a bag and close it up and put it in my backpack and then sneak that into the laundry when it stinks less by like letting it air out.
Nah, man, I'm 34 next month. I want people to know I do drugs.
No, that's a previous... I mean, yeah, that's I'm asking if Jake has done it.
So one, I didn't smoke weed till I was like 19 and living away from home.
Boo this man.
Literally wasn't even close to cool enough to be smoking weed in high school with or to have a connect or whatever. Too much of a nerd, and thus never had to do that at home or anything like that. Only time I've ever worried about smelling of weed has generally been like going back into a game store because I would frequently smoke weed in between rounds of Magic the Gathering.
Just hyping yourself up in the fucking mirror. Fucking do this, Jane.
Quite the opposite. It's more like it's more like losing and then going and getting high because you no longer care.
What the fuck was that instant?
yourself.
But even then, I would say more often than not, I probably just smelled like weed.
Okay.
As opposed to
that's fine.
Changing out a shirt or anything like that. Like,
I feel like in my teenage times, people were like rampant. Like, if you smell like it at all, you're gonna just like be beat. They're gonna, your parents are gonna call the cops on you. People were like using everything they could for like hyper.
If I was smellerizing it. Also, like, I probably would have come into that. Oh yeah, I can't even
imagine. Boo, this man was a teenager. Boo, this man.
Fucking lame.
Oh my god.
Yeah, though.
No, you aged over time in a linear fashion.
Fucking dork.
Posting your L's.
I'm getting ratioed everywhere I go right now.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. I never had anything like that. And honestly, like, I'm willing to bet that, like, if you go, like, what am I trying to say here? I don't notice the smell of weed as much as other people these days, unless it's like outside, you know, like in a blowing by me type of sense. I don't think it's ever that big of an issue in the Northwest as far as legal states and also like people just like cracking a window and smoking inside of their apartments and stuff like that.
I'd say we need to sort of rethink our etiquette.
As far as cleaning goes, though, I cannot recommend continuously cleaning your pieces or pipes enough.
You gotta keep
you absolutely have to.
You really can feel the benefits, quite frankly, when you do it. But it's also a bitch. It's a pain in the ass. I go through a lot of isopropyl alcohol.
I just do vodka.
I mean, you know, to each your own. Safe. Like, yeah.
Doesn't work. 2 liters for $7 at Costco. I think it's more than 2 liters. You get a lot at Costco for you'd have to buy like four. Let me check. I'll do the math for y'all. I think it'd be the same or less. I think there was some issue with food safety. And I'm going to clean it and then immediately vape out of this thing. So I was like, maybe I should use vodka instead of isopropyl alcohol, maybe like a 90% one, and then immediately go smoking it. But I mean, there wouldn't be an issue, but.
You just rinse your stuff really thoroughly.
I mean, a metal brush.
It's really heavy metals in Arizona. Like, that shit's not filtered. I would have to pull my refrigerated Brita water.
Oh.
I said I'm not going to do that to myself. I just said I would just rub it out. It's fine.
Yeah.
I use a Q-tip.
You use a Q-tip in lieu of like a tiny metal bristle?
I said too many small details, so I have to back up. I'm using a small handheld vaporizer unit, and I use dry flour out of that. So then I have to like brush that out consistently between sessions, and then every like week I have to go in there with an alcohol Q-tip and then clean out the heating element. Because little bits of blood fray through and then burn on the inside. So you start to taste the burn and you're like, you got to clean this immediately before it either catches fire or the unit will inhale some fucking coal and fuck up the whole thing.
Mm.
But it has like a metal catch that you can just scoop an alcohol Q-tip through. It takes like 3 seconds.
I have a glass bong pipe, whatever you. You know, it's relatively simple to clean, but it is also like I do go through Q-tips and I go through alcohol. And
that's just the life.
It's just kind of the way of doing it. Yeah, it's like it's the only thing that I can justify owning Q-tips for, really. But they are useful as hell for that. You got to stick it down in there. You got to get those fucking angles.
I mean, I'd say, I'll do basically Q-tip isopropyl alcohol. I just use a little smaller glass pipe. And, you know, honestly, I've been using that less because I have access to vape stuff now and the cartridges specifically. And you can just, like, take a tiny hit off of that and be good for most of the day. And
I don't know. I live in a part of town where there's like a school nearby and stuff, so I'm not like trying to completely have an overbearing, massive cloud like during day hours or whatever. If I'm at home,
boo. You should blow five blunts, at children.
Smoke on them kids, boo.
Yeah, that will go over so well. So
let the kids off, smoke a blunt.
No,
drop a blunt. Oops, whose is that? Kick it towards a child.
Right. I believe in a reasonable level of I don't know, like. Let's say everyone has gone off of work. That's fine, and you're okay. But like, it can't be like a chimney in here. Even if you have a roommate or whatever, it's like the embarrassing thing is being the gross stoner that cannot clean, and just accumulates everything. And you just have a spot where you sit in the day, and a big outline of trash starts to form around you until you're like Dark Neo Pigpen from the Peanuts cartoon. You have to have composure and propriety.
Conduct yourself like you're civilized.
You're smoking weed.
Don't look like a pile of shit.
Yeah, don't be a cave. You can't do as many
dishes. Buy paper plates. Paper plates is cleaning mitigation. You can't think about active mechanical cleaning and the efficacy of it. You have to limit how much cleaning you perform.
Yeah.
That's clean maxing is to when dirt occurs, you throw it out of your house instead of wiping on a rag and storing that in a container that holds other rags that will eventually go to the trash. Stop pre-trash.
Isn't that just like you can't only buy paper towels. That's fucked up.
No, yeah. I'd say
I'm not saying stop eating off plates. I said it could be a mix. Tonight's paper, bust out the paper plates, as Spider-Man would say, because
I will say if I make like a sandwich or something handheld, more often than not I will just wrap that in a paper towel rather than
finger paper towel plate.
Yeah.
But I have a bronzo bean butter chicken rice curry here. It's kind of wet. Can't paper towel that. I'm gonna eat this with a spork. Wet. So a little bit of wet paper plate, ready, or piece of parchment over your paper towel.
Hold on, hold it up in a
cone. Eat it like an ice cream cone with a spoon.
You're eating curry on a paper plate.
Yeah.
How does that make sense?
It's like a really so don't buy the worst
it's
paper.
It's probably
plate.
A wax.
Some
paper.
Are more absorbent.
Yeah, wax.
Okay.
Wax. This isn't wax. It's just really compressed. You do have a time limit, but the time limit's pretty generous depending on the heat of the food.
That's fair.
Yeah. You've got to be moving.
And I like a thick sauce. There ain't runny sauce in this house. It coats a spoon and it barely drips. This is a thick sauce house.
People with sauces and paper plates perplex me because I'm thinking, yo, how's that plate gonna soak up into that sauce?
Rice layer. You want to do rice layer. You want to reduce your liquids a little more. You want it to be like thick gravy consistency. It has to coat the spoon and not fall off all the way. You want it to be thick. You do it thick as hell. You have like a rice layer. You could do your veggies first. If you keep all other ingredients separate and then layer on sauce on top of them after making a neat pile of them. You have a lot of methods to mitigate the space of the paper plate that's available to the food. Also differing temperatures. If it's like colder mashed potatoes that have been there for a minute and hotter gravy, you're going to put more of that thermal energy into the mashed potatoes, while the mashed potatoes are like a thermal barrier and physical barrier to moisture to the paper plate. I eat a lot of mashed potatoes, though. If you eat mashed potatoes once a year, that's not going to fucking help. But if you realize you can have mashed potatoes from actual potatoes any fucking time and you don't use flakes, the world's your oyster.
Just get a electronic whisk and you're good to go. The shit's easy as
fuck. Wow.
Or a spoon.
No, I don't listen to these people. Yeah, we'll learn how to whisk yourself. You have to develop skills, folks.
I like them a little chunky. I like mashed potatoes a little chunky. You could whisk it. I'm not saying don't whisk mashed potatoes.
Michelle, here's the thing.
I'm just saying I stopped using a whisk 7 years ago.
Yeah, if you whisk every single day, your arm is going to be thick as fuck.
Yeah, they call them baking arms.
That's what's up. You gotta do it.
Eventually you hit a wall with that shit and you're like, no, I need to pay for
it. Oh, let's get more job updates. I'm also like unexpectedly, I'm just randomly gaining muscles and losing weight just because I move the entire time.
Here's one thing I wanted to talk about with regards to the subject at hand. And also, while you two were talking, I was sort of arguing with people about pizza. So hopefully we didn't already touch on this. What are you learning on the job that you're like, oh shit, this is great for keeping my shit up at home?
So other than having like a change of heart with Pledge, but then it's in the same place and it doesn't make sense at home. So I was kind of bummed about that because I was like, oh, that's really cool. Maybe someday I'll care about having something be a bit shinier than normal. Considered getting like a bottle for my car. And I was like, seems stupid. Let's see. Good things are most apartments that are like high rise style or most cheap apartments are going to have a AC drain that connects to your sink, and with a wet dry vac you can vacuum that out yourself to stop the condenser from overflowing. It's incredibly simple to do, so that was a fun one. I was just like, I'm just gonna do that at people friends' condensers overflowing. That's all they're gonna do, just get a wet dry vac out. Everyone should own a wet dry vac or have someone near them that has one.
Current vocation, that is basically going on right now. I have an in-between job where I'm in between bigger things where maybe I get insured or whatever in the workplace. We were literally doing a floor shampooing the other day. It was wild.
That's always fun.
I had to like put that together and do all of that. And it's like a whole ordeal, but
like a rug doctor?
Or
like something more commercial.
Very intensive.
I think using a rock doctor. I've only used like something like a rug doctor, something pretty basic that will shampoo it and then it sucks it back up into a separate container for it. Jake said, what is a wet dry vac? A wet dry vac is a vacuum that's like a giant bucket on wheels and you can vacuum up water as well. That's the wet aspect.
Oh, I know exactly what those are. Wasn't sure if it was something else. Yeah. We had a basement that flooded growing up, so we had one of those on hand.
Gotta have one. They're great. Yeah. Sucks up anything. Maybe don't put a filter in it. Just like block the excess port when you put water in. You don't super need a filter. It won't get that fucked up. Don't quote me on that, but you won't care anyway. Why would you want to buy two filters? You'd have to buy like a water filter and then change it out for a dry filter.
Yeah. The one of the benefits of living in a above ground apartment is that I don't really have to worry about flooding or much water spillage at all, unless my sink busts, knock on wood, I guess. But I also just got a carpet shampooer, which I've never used one before ever. I think I talked about this on a different episode.
It's such a good fucking time.
I'm actually pretty stoked to use it and wanted to use this episode as like a hype up type situation to get myself excited about cleaning. I have no clue what's happening outside if you can hear that noise. That
sounds pretty wild.
That was like an animal dying or something.
A shampoo, it's if anyone's a fan of like the YouTube like rug cleaning videos, when you use a carpet shampooer, it just shits soap all over the carpet, and then you go and then you wait 30 seconds and then you flip it and then it will suck it all back up, and then just all the brown poop water comes out of the carpet and you just know it's clean. You know everything's clean now.
Yeah, it's got this little, I'm assuming that it like sucks the water back up into the like compartment, because it's got this little water compartment on it that you can see where you put the soapy water.
Yeah, you have a dilute chamber and then you have the trash chamber. Ooh, you'll wash all the poop, zoop up into that. You'll have a big gallon of junk you can just pour on someone's car. Oh my God. It's great. It's one of it's very similar to like if you've ever mopped a garage. And just like a completely clean concrete is very nice. Similar to hardwood floors, just like bare feet on a freshly mopped floor is very good. It doesn't last very long though. You get like 1 or 2 days before it's like, I have a little grit here now on my toes. That's never fun. Only we could be in a dirtless world. Shit, what's that? Speed again, running away now.
Michelle, is your sound actually back?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Something of an error.
No, it's okay.
I got it taken care of.
All good.
While we're in just nowhere right now, I did want to bring up something I think I mentioned earlier, which was on the last clean episode about soap. I went on the what the fuck is it even called? Oh no, what's Dr. Bronner's soap called?
Castile
soap journey. And at the end of the day, it kind of came out in the wash of like, I wasn't saving a ton of money because I wasn't willing to like hyper dilute it and kind of like ride the edge of using the smallest amount of soap that like that my perception would be like, this seems clean. Also, my nose is bad most of the time. And then for laundry, it also turns out if you're not using actual detergent, like organic or oil-based soaps, or vegetable-based soaps, Castile soaps in general, all those types of soaps, they don't work as well because they will cause like a oily residue to build up on your clothing. So literally like a month after that episode was recorded, I was like, oh, well, this is not viable. You eventually have to turn the laundry to detergent one day. Because it's the only thing that will remove the oily residue of using Castile soap for an extended period of time. Yeah, we could have learned that sooner. But that was a fun resolution to that. On the back of that, I was like, multi-purpose cleaners are tight. And then I got into ethanol-based multi-purpose cleaners as being like, I also want one that has a very low chance of leaving a pet damaging residue. That's where I landed on.
All right, so now... So this is where I'm like, this is where you run down what those are. What do you have in your home, Ruben? What's your lineup?
So let's
see. What's your fucking day to day?
Previously, I was all in for Trader Joe's multi-purpose cleaners, cedarwood and sage flavor. I believe it comes in two flavors now. I think, or that was a limited edition run of like lavender.
No, spray in that.
Do
shit.
Not
you eat
that
shit?
Do not taste this.
Yeah,
do not taste this.
You fucking eating that shit, Ruben?
It's a flavor. I don't know what to tell you. When it's all-purpose French lavender cleaner, it's flavored like that, regardless of me eating.
Some people refer to it as a style or a scent.
Okay, so I'm referring to it as a flavor. Do you have a problem? I think I have a problem with calling it a style. That's fucking stupid. Lavender style?
I'm sorry. Like, things that describe... Like, even... What?
Adjective,
like,
Michelle?
It's a scent.
A lavender, yeah, it's scented.
You two are arguing about nothing. It's literally just a
S-C-E-N-T.
The vibes are in shambles right now. You have to understand that we're saying
flavor.
Something real here, and that Michelle's wrong about it.
Yeah, you know, that lavender flavor.
They flavored the cleaner. It's not styled after lavender, you fucking idiots. What the fuck is that?
Oh my
Lavender
god.
Lavender style all-purpose cleaner just for windows.
Lavender scented.
All right. So
scented's fine.
It's
a little lame.
Cleaner.
Whatever.
Yeah. The dulcet taste of lavender.
Well, so here's the thing, you can taste it, you just can't swallow it, Michelle. So you got to swish
it
around.
You can have your sip.
You
can have your sippy sips.
Yeah, and you get a spitting bucket, you know, like
you could taste the antifreeze, but just
listen,
don't
the antifreeze wagon. The antifreeze you can just have a little.
You ever gargled lavender flavored cleaner, Michelle? It'll fucking send you to the moon.
Let's go.
But don't swallow it.
Yeah, don't swallow.
You have to.
That'll send you to the morgue.
Only true drainers know. Only to spit.
Okay, so but for real, like you don't have that anymore. No more flavored. No more Trader Joe's flavored.
I moved out to Trader Joe's cleaner just because going to Trader Joe's was just a lot of work. Now it's not the new job. Funny enough, it's across the street now, and it'd be less lurk, but they don't sell a concentrate that you can dilute. I like to go for getting the big ass refill jugs that you do like a 1-5 or 1-3 dilution of yourself, and it's usually a pretty good savings, usually 30-50% off depending on brand and what kind of cleaner is in it, like how toxic that cleaner will be, how pet safe it will determine its price usually.
So wait, is that what you still have? Because I'm asking
now,
what's in your house right now.
Now it is between Method, all-purpose cleaners, usually just their glass ones, though. The other ones all use a different cleaning agent, and only the glass one is ethanol without ammonia.
Okay.
Because, like, Windex.
I have glass as well. I have
a lot of glass cleaners are, a lot of them use ammonia, because that's good for windows or streak-free drying. But I'm trying to keep ammonia and bleach out of the house. You want as few, like, mustard gassing incidents as possible. That's usually my main goal of like only owning like one or two hard chemicals and having a majority of relatively safe light things. But sometimes you need to like nuke your shower or your toilet. Oh, I found it. The Bon Ami cleanser. That is, it was a powder cleanser, Light Comet, but it's
detergentless. I totally, I meant, okay, when the combat discussion was happening earlier, I meant to do this, and I'm doing it now. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Barkeep's friend. Are either of you familiar?
No.
It is the superior.
I shouted that out like 30 minutes ago.
That's what I fucking A. Okay, good.
Barkeeper's friend's great.
It's anti-rust. So good.
You can clean your tools.
I have stainless steel cookware, and that is what I primarily use it for. But bathroom cleaning in general, Barkeep's friend is the shit.
I never thought to turn it towards the tub.
Tubs or just like what do you call it? Like tile
tile grout.
Yeah, like surfaces that are like rot, more like rocky or not like not like linoleum, but like, you know, yeah, like a kind of granite-y type surface or whatever.
Tub and tile.
It's
not multi-surface. It is not. Do not rub this all over your linoleum, your vinyl.
Yes. Do not use it on any of that. The can tells you what you should use it on primarily, but it is so fucking good for like using a tiny bit. And then you just get like warm water and a sponge, and you should be good to go with like elbow grease. You just you can fucking rub that shit out. Huge recommendation for that shit. I love it, and that's sort of like if I have to clean my entire sink, it is also a stainless steel finish in the sink, so I would be just doing that.
Good stuff.
I don't have any
Barkeeper's friend's notes, or then I just use like metal brushes and Barkeeper's friend, and that usually is how I get rust out.
That's the thing. It's like there's no notes to be had. Once again, fucking dying in my background.
Yeah, no. There was literally, as I like unmuted, there'd been like a car alarm just going off for a not insignificant period of time. Okay, I wanted to kind of bring it in here, just in terms of situations you may have had when it comes to like cleaning in your apartment. Like, what would you say the worst cleaning situation was? I know mine recently. I actually, this is not me putting my roommate on blast. I could speak for myself. Like, my worst one recently was I decided to get like drunk and clean, which was a bad idea. Yeah. Although barely qualifies as an idea, it seemed like something I was stumbling into.
Yeah,
you would not be the first.
You would have to.
You would not. I got
like three paragraphs on a single sheet of paper, but nothing on the back. But I was like, absolutely mortified. I'm going through it CSI style. I had left a bunch of my clothes out because when I clean my whole room, first thing I do is take care of the clothes in one capacity or another. Anything that's loose, this, that, or another, it has to be like a clean pile, a dirty pile, and then you could start folding and putting the dirty stuff in the designated dirty area. And I basically was like, fuck that, I have my own agenda. They're everywhere in the living room, because my rationale was I wanted to see what the floor looked like bare. And then I just started sweeping tiny little piles and never did anything with them. And like the broom was in a place you could clearly trip over it. I didn't know my roommate was coming home early. And so, yeah, I was waking up and like basically throwing up bile in the bathroom for a while. And I was out for that day. And then, yeah, he looked up and had a letter like, I don't know what's going on, but, you know, I won't share the contents of the letter. But suffice it to say, I had to like immediately, as soon as I had like moisture in my head from drinking water, go through and just clean up the apartment as a means of reconciliation. You really, if you're living with another person, you have to keep a basic upkeep. I've absolutely abhor calendars, but I'm basically sticking to everything I put on or near a calendar in terms of sticky notes. Either of you, like, what's your worst cleaning situation?
A bit of mustard gas. Accidental comet in the toilet.
What?
Comet in the toilet into Windex, and then being like, that Windex got ammonia in it? Because I think there's one specific Windex that doesn't.
Yeah.
And then like some bubbling and then flushing the toilet and running out of the bathroom.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's a big yikes.
Yeah.
If, good thing it was it was in the bowl, so it was all confined to a single flush and then it was dealt with, but that can go sideways real quick. That's why I recommend not using both chemicals unless you have very good reason to.
A note,
both out of habit.
A note for listeners, the chemical reaction he's talking about that kind of creates the ad hoc mustard gas effect. An acid into a bleach, or, you know, bleach into an acid given the volume. But, you know, if the bleach is of a higher purity, it is more and more dangerous. If you have, like, access to, like, higher-end bleaches or whatever, like almost an industrial-style bleach has to be taken with the keep that shit on lock with the utmost care. Just because, yeah, that kind of reaction, very dangerous. It will fuck up your lungs. It could kill you.
Well, yeah. I think we might be getting near doing it. I did want to give one more recommendation. This one's Gerald, not a lot to waste on.
What about Jake's?
Jake. So,
how dirty were you?
I'll be honest. I think in this apartment, it hasn't ever gotten that bad, but the one thing I can think of is that, a couple of things, I guess. When I first moved in, I was dating someone and we weren't living together at that time, but we were eating together at the place a lot and shit like that. So it was like the amount of dishes for two people. And I was not as good at cleaning my dishes in a timely manner as I should have been. And I had a very just a roommate who was the opposite style of person. And that was like really tense and shitty. But it wasn't like, I wouldn't say that qualified as a huge mess. That was more just like level of cleanliness. Like certainly I feel like I wasn't the most respectful roommate in that regard, but it also categorically wasn't that gross or anything like that. The other thing is we used to have a beanbag in my place. And one time it was up against this wall that was, it was up against a wall. And then on the other side at the 90 degree angle, there's a wall. And then there's a glass, sliding door that was goes out into our porch. And one time I pulled the beanbag back from where it was positioned. And at that 90 degree angle between the glass sliding door and the wall where the sun constantly hits and shit like that, it was just so much black mold in the corner. Yeah. And that's a lot. That's pretty common in the Northwest. If you do not take care of shit up here, because of the level of moisture in the air and all that kind of stuff. So it was like a big eye opener when I first moved in to always be just like sweeping and dirty and like checking around corners and stuff. And it's honestly not that hard to prevent as long as you do the proper upkeep. But if you do something like leave a bean bag that's made of some sort of polyester shitty fabric against a wall that gets hit by the sun and water and all that stuff all day. It was pretty gross and was like, oh god damn, we got to hit that shit with the bleach right now. I do sometimes wonder how much black mold just exists in the Northwest that like isn't seen or isn't found by people, though. It's kind of nuts.
Yeah. I mean, it happens sometimes in the South, but it had to be in a place where, you know, it wasn't really a dry heat.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. Like, I didn't encounter it nearly as much even in the Southeast.
Yeah.
Something about it being like a little colder up here, I suppose. But yeah, black mold, pretty nasty. As far as cleaning up around the house, that's the biggest thing that I've run into around here.
All right. Well, on that note, I think it's
Ruben's getting unstable.
And Ruben's
they're removing me from the timeline. I just wanted to shout out, if you work with wood or tools that touch organic materials, you gotta clean those tools. I recommend Trends Clean 500 Tool Cleaner Industrial Strength Wood and Resin Remover. If you remove resin from cutting surfaces, they cut better.
Yeah.
Your saws get stuck less. It's nice. It's really nice. Clean your tools.
Yeah. Clean your tools. All right. At
the same time.
That's what's up.
Yep.
I'd say, yeah, in terms of
not just cleanliness and hygiene, but also in terms of, you know, the benefits of, you know, enjoying the place you live in. You know, I don't know what the listeners have going on. Maybe you have a nice layout to your apartment. I don't know. But I find generally, you know, the apartment is clean. It's one less thing to think about. And when you have way less things to think about in your day, you can put that forward to your own personal pursuits or leisure. If you're working all the time, it's appropriate and responsible to find a good balance between the two so that you function, you're able to, you know, have less stressors. And it's a stressful time. It's always going to be stressful. The world is always going to fucking suck, but, you know, within your little sphere of the world, you have things you can do and upkeep you can take. I'm Michelle Perez. As always, I'm joined by all of my buddies, Jake, Ruben, Lucy, and Eliza are out. We want to remind you, because Lucy keeps reminding me all the time, to leave reviews, like our stuff on your various social media. Tell your friends about the pot. Appreciate it. You've been listening to the Pig Iron Podcast. Have a great night.
Don't just put on a candle, actually clean. Get rid of the smells and the odors. Just cover it up.
You have to clean your room.